from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. This morning, President Trump tweeted that he was banning transgender people from serving in the military in any capacity. He tweeted that the military needed to focus on victory and not be, quote, burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. We'll discuss that in our first half hour, and then at 10:30, we'll look at Santa Clara County's efforts to make its cities more accommodating and age-friendly to seniors. It's all coming up after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This morning, President Donald Trump announced a ban on transgender people from serving in the U.S. military in any capacity. The ban reverses a decision under President Barack Obama that allowed them to serve. And President Trump tweeted that the military needed to focus on, quote, victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgenders in the military would entail, end of quote. As many as 11,000 transgender people serve in the active military and reserves. That's according to a RAND Corporation study. And we want to hear your thoughts on this. But first, let me tell you who is joining us to discuss the implications of this. Aaron Belkin is director of the Palm Center and author of How We Won, Progressive Lessons from the Repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He joins us from Cleveland, Ohio. Welcome, Aaron Belkin.
A pleasure to be back.
Glad to have you back. And Robert Reed is also with us this morning from the nation's capital. He's senior managing editor for Stars and Stripes. That's a military newspaper for overseas service members. And welcome, Robert Reed.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us. And let me begin with you, if I may, Robert Reed. I know many, including you, were very surprised by this. But we should get out there the fact that the president is the commander-in-chief. He has complete prerogative and right to do this, right?
Well, that seems to be the assumption of the Pentagon for the moment anyway. The Pentagon did seem to be caught off guard by this, at least the parts of the Pentagon that deal with public information and media affairs. The principal spokesman was referring all calls to the White House and simply repeated the sort of stock line that the Pentagon will, you know, follow the directions of the commander-in-chief. But there are a lot of details in this whole issue that remain to be resolved. There's a question of the status of transgender people currently serving in the military. There's also the influence of Congress. Senator John McCain, who's the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, was saying on Capitol Hill this morning that this only applied to new enlistments and that those on active duty would be allowed to stay, but it's not entirely clear whether, you know, he even has the authority to say that or to, you know, to rule on that. There have been some other indications that there may be legal challenges put forward to the courts because of the situation here, as well as a number of questions about, transgender people who may be going under training at this point and just now integrating into the armed services. So there's still a lot to be sorted out.
Well, the devil's in the details, but we also don't really know. I mentioned that RAND figure of as many as 14,000 transgender people in the military and reserves, but I've seen estimates that go down to about 7,000. UCLA did a study where they said there are 15,000. We don't seem to be able to get really clear numbers here.
No, they don't. I mean, part of this is defining, I guess, defining transgender. Another thing that makes it a bit confusing is that this RAND figure, which I think was up to 11,000, also includes reservists and National Guard, and the military's control over them is somewhat you know, less firm than with active duty members. So it could well be that the bulk of them are reservists or National Guard.
Robert Reed, again, is senior managing editor for Stars and Stripes. That's a military newspaper for overseas service members. And Aaron Belkin directs the Palm Center. He's author of How We Won, Progressive Lessons from the Repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He's with us from Cleveland. And Aaron Belkin, from some people's minds, this has taken us backward to Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Oh, this is a worse version of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and it's really it's an assault on the troops. And transgender troops have been serving loyally and honestly and openly for more than a year now. And I actually don't think this is about the devil being in the details. I think that this is a witch hunt, and this is the commander in chief ordering a purge of transgender troops.
Why, the president and chief executive has been saying there's been a witch hunt against him. But what about his arguments here? He talks about medical cost. He talks about disruption. In fact, he mentioned that the importance of victory is to some extent interfered with if you've got transgender people in the military.
Well, let's talk about both of those issues. So on the question of cost, he's not telling the truth, because we have two state-of-the-art studies, one from the Rand Corporation and one from the New England Journal of Medicine, and both studies conclude that at very most, the cost of health care for transgender troops is $8.4 million a year, and that's 1/100 of 1% of the military's health care budget. So that's a rounding error. The higher numbers that we heard conservatives in Congress use for the past few weeks were frankly made up on the back of a napkin by a college intern. So the peer review research is clear that this is not expensive. And then on disruption, the research is also clear about that. And we've had research for many years that shows that inclusive policy for transgender troops and for LGBT troops promotes military readiness. And that's why 18 foreign militaries allow trans people to serve. So he's not telling the truth about the financial cost or the impact on readiness. If anything, what he's doing hurts readiness.
Aaron Belkin, again with us from Cleveland, is also a professor at San Francisco State and directs the Palm Center. And let me give out the phone number now, because I know there's certainly strong feelings about this on both sides of the continuum. And if you have those feelings and want to express them, or if you have a question or a comment, we welcome you to the program. You can join us now and let us know what your thoughts are, your feelings are about this latest broadside from President Trump, which was tweeted earlier today, going against transgender people being in the military. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786, and we welcome your call, so please feel free to join the program at that number, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum at kqed.org, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is at kqedforum. You can also go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment, but please feel free to join the program. Aaron Belkin, I have to ask you about this as a setback for LGBTQ people. I mean, when you think about, Betsy DeVos, for example, talking about protection in schools and so forth, and that's a step backward. And many people see discrimination in bathrooms and the things that we've seen, in Texas and North Carolina as steps backwards. It's a big quantum step backward from your judgment?
I think so, and I think this is actually one area where people in my community would agree with opponents of LGBT troops, which is that military service is really not just about the troops, but in a society that's as militarized as ours is, the ability to serve in the military on an equal basis with everybody else is really a marker of citizenship. And so, I mean, even if you look back at, societies going back hundreds of years, the marker of a first-class citizen is the ability to serve in the military. And so when people are banned from the military, that has implications for rights across the board. It's not just literally about the troops.
Robert Reed, let me get you to weigh in here about the president's points on cost and disruption and needing to concentrate on victory. Are those valid points as you see it?
Well, the points themselves, let's say the questions are valid. And in fact, Secretary of Defense James Mattis last month actually delayed for 6 months a study that was required of the Joint Chiefs of Staff on how the military would integrate transgender troops, including military standards. And the question was added with the delay, how transgender troops would affect as they said, military's lethality. This is a study, a serious study that's underway, and was not due until early December. And it's a little surprising that the president would jump in at this point, and in effect preempt the findings of the study. What made it so urgent, to issue this now when, the Pentagon had already set in motion a system to reach this conclusion and to do so in a methodical manner. So that's got a number of people here questioning. It's not just what he said, but the timing of what he said.
What about the cost, though, from your perspective? I mean, we're talking about corporations and businesses that offer plans for transgender people. Is it a burden for a military that takes on, expenses like F-15s and the kind of weaponry that we know that the military needs or feels they need?
Well, as my colleague said, the estimates are that this would be a pretty small percentage of the overall Pentagon budget. The Pentagon budget, by the Pentagon standards, anyway, is pretty stretched at this time. So I suppose, dollars going one place and not dollars going another. But I've seen some estimates that there's more spent on Viagra in the military than is spent, would be spent on transgender. There are only about 200 people who have so far applied for, gender surgery, on the Pentagon's nickel. That's a pretty small number when you think that there are 1.3 million people on active duty and another 800,000 people in the reserve. So, we're talking about a very small percentage of people. Also, the military is a complex organization, and as far as disruption is concerned, not everybody in the military is a trigger puller. In fact, most aren't. To be able to draw a conclusion about the lethality of a institution which is as varied as this one is not something that you can do just off the cuff. It does require serious study and a study that had been commissioned and supposedly is underway.
All right, let me get to some comments here. Roland tweets, this transgender ban is a distraction, a piece of red meat offered to the base, and a red herring to get the press off the Russian story. Sonia writes, in my opinion, we should welcome anyone with open arms who is willing to die for the United States and the protection of democracy. And here's Soren, a transgender man. Soren?
Hi. Hi. I just kind of wanted to say that I'm really disturbed by the fact that any group of Americans is being treated as an inconvenience and a burden. I have friends in the military, and I'm just really upset by this and upset that it's being used as a political tactic.
All right. I thank you for that. And as I said, Soren is a transgender man, and Michael is our next caller. Michael, join us. Hi.
Hi there. Good morning, I guess. I guess it's a good morning. Yeah, I served in the U.S. Air Force honorably for 6 years. I'm a gay person, and I actually knew a couple people who at that time in the 70s and early 80s were transgender. They were fine, the most honorable people you could ever meet. And I do believe Steve Bannon's fingerprints are all over this. He is a racist. He's a homophobe. And I'm just wondering who's next. Is it Jews? Is it African Americans? Is it people who are of Arab, Muslim people who are serving honorably? I think that this is a major distraction, first of all, but it's more than that. This is the beginning of a purge by this racist right-wing government to deprive all Americans who would serve honorably from the U.S. military, and it's basically nothing but hate. The statistics I have read from the RAND Corporation, that as was quoted by the gentleman there at the station, I'm doing my best to restrain myself because I'm extremely upset about this.
All right. Well, I appreciate your expressing yourself, and I thank you for the call. And I want to get to as many of you callers as I can. Let's go next, if we can, to Mervin. Mervin, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? My name's Mervin. I'm an Air Force veteran and a student at Columbia University. I think that military readiness was unaffected by the service of gay troops despite the initial and homophobic reluctance for inclusion. I think that this experience must serve as an example for inclusion of trans individuals in the military. And when it comes to military readiness and its lethality, according to General Mattis, transgender individuals present an opportunity to solve the issue of women serving in combat roles. Detractors claim that women's physical inferiorities render them unfit for combat duty. And they also claim that transgender people would disrupt or undermine military efficiency. However, trans women, those who are born biologically male and have transitioned to become females, remain biologically suited to occupy combat roles that are denied to women on the basis of their biology. If trans women are allowed to assume these roles, don't their honorable service become assets to the overall mission of the military and not a risk?
All right, Aaron Belkin, I want to go to you on this rather than hear the whole text there and get some response. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, a lot of points, but I think the most important point to pick up on is that this really is don't ask, don't tell again. And in the same way that we heard arguments before Don't Ask, Don't Tell about African-Americans and women and then gays and lesbians who supposedly would pose a risk to disruption, all those claims turned out to be false. And what the military would say when they wanted to stonewall is we need another study. So, no disrespect at all to my colleague Robert Reed, but we already have decades of research on inclusive policy and the way that inclusive policy promotes readiness. And the military itself took an entire year to study transgender military service, and all of the chiefs signed off on that study. So the research is clear and the evidence is clear that inclusive policy is good for the military and discrimination is bad for the military. And as the caller said, to go after one specific group as if that group is somehow a burden to the military is morally suspect and bad for readiness.
But let me go, Aaron Belkin, to something that the caller brought up here, and that is the way you see the message that's going out to transgender people. I mean, we're talking about millions of people, really, aren't we?
Yeah. Gary Gates at UCLA estimated that there are approximately 700,000 transgender adults in the United States. And, you know, it's a difficult to count population.
I was thinking about globally even, yeah. I mean, the message is one of inequality, isn't it?
The message is that you don't count. You're a second class citizen, and you don't deserve to have a place at the table with everybody else.
And Rick writes, my son served 6 years in the Army, including one tour of duty in Afghanistan. He recently needed medical tests for what he thought was cancer. He had a hard time getting an appointment with a doctor. There's already too little money for veterans. Why should we add people that will bring large costs for a voluntary sex change? And you say what to that, Robert Reed?
Well, you hear this complaint a lot, particularly in the veterans community, but I think we're really conflating two issues. As I said again, that by all indications, the amount of money that would have to be deferred for allowing transgender people to serve is pretty minuscule. But you do hear this complaint quite a bit that, why are these people getting preferential treatment when the Veterans Administration is in such disarray?
And here's Chris who writes, I hope everyone supporting this ban is an active service member or ready to enlist to take their spots. There's plenty of support roles that could be filled. I think you wanted to say something here, Aaron Belkin.
Well, yeah, that the idea that this is somehow optional or voluntary or preferential or elective, you know, the military has a very clear rule that all service members get the medical care that they need. And for some transgender people, they have a medical need for surgery or hormones. And the American Medical Association has also been clear that these treatments are not optional. These are medically necessary treatments, and they're safe and they're effective and reliable. So what we're talking about here is treating transgender people the same in terms of providing them with the same medical care that everybody else gets. This is not about special treatment.
And here's a comment from Robert. It says, the president's order seems justifiable and consistent with his personal experience. Consider the tremendous cost to our armed forces had they been faced with accommodating Trump's own bone spur. All right, here's another caller, and that's Jacob. Jacob, you're on the air.
Hello, good morning. Thank you. I was wondering if anyone on your panel could clarify what the actual definition of a transgender is. It seems to be a term that is thrown around loosely. There seems to be two categories of people. One are those who have actually had a surgery, and the other is those who cross-dress. And we get the cross-dressers a lot in San Francisco.
Cross-dresser just is transvestism. Transgender means you have an identity as being of another gender. I think that's pretty much on the money there, isn't it, Aaron Belkin?
Yeah, it means that you've always known you're born in the wrong body. So it's people who were born in a boy's body who've always known that's wrong, or people who've been born as in a girl's body and always have known that's wrong. And it, whether or not you take steps to transition medically and or present in the other gender, that doesn't have to do with your identity as a transgender person.
Yeah, and I thank you for the question, Jacob. Transvestites are people who like to dress in the clothing of the other gender, and that's a different thing altogether. Let me go to Judith next. Judith, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Well, I think that any person who is transgender and has been through their life experience is very courageous and should be welcomed into the military if that's what they choose to do.
Okay. I thank you for that comment. Appreciate hearing from you. We'll hear from another listener. Let's go next to Alex. Alex, welcome.
Hello. My comment is simply that if we had a national service that everybody 18 years old had to go in the military, no one would be excluded. And we wouldn't have a right-wing military either.
So you want conscription and the draft brought back, Alex? Is that what you're saying?
Sure. Yeah. I was a Marine in Vietnam. I volunteered, but we had a lot of people that were drafted.
Okay. Again, I thank you for the call. Here's Noel who says, maybe the president is conflating the Chelsea Manning case with this. Why am I not shocked? But still, it's inappropriate to announce this through a tweet. What do the military leaders say about that? Robert Reed?
Well, the military leaders aren't responding in that sense. I mean, I don't think they're going to they're going to put, you know, every transgender person in the same category that they would place Chelsea Manning.
No, but what about the fact that this was tweeted out as opposed to gone through normal course of action on the presidency?
Well, I mean, this is the magic question, and this is what, you know, is very clearly something that, as I said earlier, the Pentagon was not prepared for at this point. I think also we need to remember, too, I think there are varying opinions in the Joint Chiefs of Staff as to transgender. I don't think that any of the services have called for an absolute ban on transgender serving. There are detailed questions, and that detail is what these people live by. What construction changes may be made, what military occupational specialty ratings have to be changed, et cetera. But I don't think that there is, you know, that there is open hostility at the Joint Chiefs of Staff level to the idea of transgender serving under any capacity.
And again, Robert Reed is senior managing editor for Stars and Stripes, a military newspaper for overseas service members. And Leif, let's get you on quickly here if we can. Leif, go ahead.
Yes, I was just going to say that in the 70s, I was an Army officer, and I had to integrate a truck company with women, and women were not previously in that MOS because one of the things is they had to be able to change a tire on a large truck. And there was a lot of resistance to it, but when it finally happened, it was fine.
Okay, that's progress. Thank you, Leif, and thank you to our guests, Robert Reed of Stars and Stripes, Aaron Belkin, San Francisco State professor and director of the Palm Center, and thank you, our listeners. We are coming up on another segment. We're going to find out all about age-friendly cities and age-friendly communities. There's an effort underway, and lots is happening on that front that you want to know about. Stay tuned. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.